This is episode 4 of the Rookie Big Board podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, at the FF underscore educator, director of fantasy football for the NFL Draft Bible. On today's episode, we're going to be switching things up. Traditionally, we make a big board into a ranking for all of the players, but instead, today what we're going to do is actually go through our January rookie ADP. I'm going to be going through round by round through the first 5 rounds of rookie ADP collected through a series of 4-round rookie mock drafts coordinated by the NFL Draft Bible and from fantasy football experts from around the industry. So this is insight on some rookie mock draft information of industry experts. Before we jump into things here, I want to remind everybody this is a brand new podcast. If you could please take 2 seconds and leave a 5-star review and subscribe, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watching on YouTube. For today's episode in particular, watching on YouTube is going to be really awesome because actually what I'm doing is I am just screen sharing insight from the Notion app that I use to put together my rankings, the FF Educator rankings, the big board. You may have seen I put it out, but I have all of the big boards updated. Rookie big boards by position, rookie ADP, Devy big boards for this incoming class flipped over for 2021, Devy big boards by position, Dynasty big board flipped over for 2021 Dynasty rankings by position, and a top 75 cornerstone rankings all available at patreon.com/theffeducator. You get all of that for just $3 a month. I don't think anybody's giving you a better value, but I also wanted to show you the functionality of it. So if you're watching on YouTube, this is literally what you get access to. This is just the ADP page. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. This isn't a pitch, but it's also a really good way to use it and demonstrate what this rookie ADP looks like. So I'm going to go round by round, and I'm going to give insight on probably the 3 or 4 players, the value that pops out the most to me. And then we're just going to kind of dig into things in that way. So let's go ahead, waste no more time. Let's start right here in round number 1. I'm going to go through it here in order. This is, by the way, this is single quarterback, PPR, no tight end premium ADP. It's been conducted over the last 2 weeks. Each draft had 4 rounds, but if you know the way ADP works, it's actually going to end up being 5 rounds worth of ADP. And like I said, I'm going to go round by round and just pull out my top observations. Not the best values, not the worst values, just the values that really jump out to me as things that we're either going to move or are a good value right now. You'll kind of pick up on it as we go here. But round 1, we're looking at it, and it is 101 is Najee Harris. Interesting, Ja'Marr Chase is the 102. Travis Etienne, 103. Jaylen Waddle, 104, above his teammate Devonta Smith at 105. Javonte Williams at 106. Kyle Pitts at 107. Rondale Moore, 108. Terrace Marshall, 109. Rashad Bateman, 110. Trevor Lawrence, the first quarterback off the board in a 1QB league, 111. And sneaking into the first round is Tylan Wallace at 112. So first and foremost, we got to start here. I think the biggest thing that jumps out right at the top for folks who might have that 101, 102, even like the 103, 4, 5, thinking about what their options are. Ja'Marr Chase going above Travis Etienne is a little interesting in terms of we normally have a push towards running back at the top because of positional scarcity. Travis Etienne being at 103, I think, is a result of a lot of Travis Etienne downplaying that I'm seeing out there right now. And I just want to put a little bit of a pause on this. And this is kind of an interesting situation for me to be in because I have Ja'Marr Chase over Travis Etienne on the rookie big board. So this ADP actually matches what the rookie big board tells you to do and what I would probably do. But I'm just noticing a lot of Travis Etienne, I don't know if hate's the right word, but a lot of reservation towards Travis Etienne when we were ready to strap the rocket on his back last year. And Travis Etienne did nothing in 2020 that should necessarily dictate us dropping his ranking. So I think it's a result of this phenomena that we actually see every single year, which is that we get bored of really good players and we devalue them. Travis Etienne's tape grade didn't go down for me in 2020. It's right there. It's saying the same. And I don't have a problem with anybody taking Ja'Marr Chase over Travis Etienne like this ADP suggests. But I just want to point out that if you are a running back needy team, don't feel like you have to go Ja'Marr Chase over Travis Etienne or Travis Etienne isn't a safe pick. Moving down the board here at 107, Kyle Pitts has to jump out at 107. I have seen Kyle Pitts go all over the board in all of these drafts. All right, so in one draft in particular, Kyle Pitts went 101. In some of the drafts, he went in the second round. And so depending on your league, you're going to have to feel out your teammates and figure out who is the Kyle Pitts enthusiast in your league. And what do you have to do if you want Kyle Pitts, if you have that need at tight end, which is what he's most likely going to be designated as, figure out who you have to get above to go and get Kyle Pitts. Because I've seen a lot of folks out there say that they are willing to spend a top five pick on Kyle Pitts. I'm not right now. I'm comfortable in the back end of the first round. At some point in time, he's still a tight end. There's still a development curve. And depending on his landing spot, it could be a long development curve for Kyle Pitts. 107, I'm fine with. And I think it really kind of shows that he could go anywhere on the board in the first round. You have to know your league. You have to look at who might need a tight end and who's willing to get bullish on Kyle Pitts. There's some folks who are very bullish on Kyle Pitts. And there's some folks, which is what I'm kind of advising, is play it out. Really, he's 112 on the big board, right? So he's a late first round pick for me. I wouldn't use too high of draft capital. 107 is too strong for me. 110 and below is probably where I'd feel comfortable, even if I'm a tight end needy team. 112, I absolutely love it. Tylan Wallace. Tylan Wallace at the Senior Bowl, he weighed in about 5 pounds heavier. I really like that. So he's playing at 193 right now. I like his size. I think he can move all around the field. Tylan Wallace played the first 2 days of Senior Bowl practice in Mobile, impressed enough that he hung it up. That's a normal thing, by the way, for folks to do. When they go down to the Senior Bowl, if they play really good in the first 2 days of practice, they'll hang up the cleats. They'll call it a day. They've made their money. They've bumped up their draft stock. Tylan Wallace is a locked-in round two guy. I think he could even go top end round two, maybe sneak into the first round of round one. I'm not projecting him as a day one guy right now in terms of the NFL draft, but I'm saying don't be surprised if he goes day one. It wouldn't shock me at all. And Tylan Wallace at 112, I think, is where his value should be. It's above some other names that we're going to talk about here in round two, but at 112, I really like Tylan Wallace. So let's go ahead. Let's jump into the second round here of ADP. And it starts with Kenneth Gainwell, 201. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 202. Elijah Moore, 203. Justin Fields, 204, second quarterback off the board. Kadarius Toney, 205. Dyami Brown, 206. Javion Hawkins, 207. Seth Williams, 208. Jamar Jefferson, 209, Trey Sermon, 210, Brevin Jordan, 211, and Trey Lance, 212. So that's the entire second round. So let's figure out who we want to focus on here. And for me, you have to talk about Elijah Moore. When you're looking at this ADP, you're looking at the players that are being broken down here. Elijah Moore, his value is skyrocketing. Skyrocketing. I loved his tape when I saw him. He's going to be a slot guy in the NFL, but I think he could be a really, really effective slot guy. I don't think that's meant in a negative way at all. I think folks are starting to catch on. The buzz is starting to build there. I think he's a lock day two NFL draft pick right now. Here's what I want to caution with Elijah Moore. 203, we're pushing his max value. So Elijah Moore was a guy that I really liked when everybody else had him like down in the fourth round. And I was going to get him in the third round. And I'm okay with paying second round value. I think second round value is good. 203 is the most I would pay for Elijah Moore. Like we've hit this breaking point. I love every player or hate any player depending on their cost. And for Elijah Moore, I've really liked him because of his cost, but I worry that we're pushing it out. So this is kind of what the industry experts are telling us, right? This is an analyst. This is a collection of rookie drafts from analysts. It's a large sample size. And Elijah Moore is pushing his way to the top. Down at 205, this is really interesting. This is one of the biggest gaps that I'm hearing from the NFL side of my world and the fantasy football side of my world. It's Kadarius Toney at 205. I'm hearing a lot from NFL folks. Kadarius Toney is a day one pick. His athleticism, the way he could be moved all around the field. I personally don't see day one with Kadarius Toney. I think he's a very average player. I think he can contribute on an NFL offense. I don't think he's taking your offense to the next level. I don't think he's a difference maker. And I don't think he's a locked and loaded day one starter. And that's what you're looking for in round one of the NFL draft. You're looking for a locked and loaded guy. So I agree actually with where the ADP has him, 205. I wouldn't even take him at 205, to be honest. I'd probably need it to be in the third round. And I'm not trying to hate on Kadarius Toney. He's a really athletic player. He looked great in his last year at Florida. He flashes good hands. I just think he's going to get washed out in an offense. So that landing spot's going to be really important for Kadarius Toney, but don't be surprised if he's pushed into the third round by the time ADP goes down, if his landing spot's bad. He could go up into first round rookie ADP if his landing spot is really flashy and nice. But it's not going to be for me. I'm not paying 205 for Kadarius Toney, so I'm not going to pay anything above it. He's got to drop down to late second, early third round ADP to get me to pay for that. One big value, though, is Brevin Jordan at 211. I think Brevin Jordan at 211 is going to end up being the steal of this draft. The gap between Brevin Jordan and Kyle Pitts is not 105 to 211. Now, I'm not going to get into the argument of Brevin Jordan versus Kyle Pitts. Brevin Jordan is a tight end versus Kyle Pitts as an athlete. That could be its own podcast episode, and it very well may be, by the way, down the line. But Brevin Jordan specifically is not a round and a half of rookie value worse than Kyle Pitts, but he's being driven there. And at 211, I would draft Brevin Jordan in 9 out of 10 drafts at 211, even if I didn't have a need at tight end. I think it's a smash pick. Brevin Jordan is a good route runner. He's got good hands. He's athletic. If it wasn't for Kyle Pitts, Brevin Jordan would be a first-round ADP because we would push that tight end value up there. So if you're making the case that Kyle Pitts should be more valuable because he's a tight end in a tight end scarcity situation, then you should be pushing up Brevin Jordan too, but it's not. There's this discrepancy, and this is where we find value. And at 211, you can't beat the value that you're getting with Brevin Jordan. Let's go ahead. Let's jump into round three here of the rookie ADP. We dig deep. The first two rounds are important, but what do I always say? You win drafts. You really smash value in rounds three, in rounds four, and we're going to do round five just because it's fun. All right, so at 301 here, it's Chuba Hubbard. 302, it's Pat Freiermuth. 303, Michael Carter. 304, Zach Wilson, another quarterback off the board. And really the last of that top quarterback group. Kylan Hill at 305. Ramondre Stevenson coming in at 307. Tamorian Terry at 308. Sage Surratt 309. Daz Newsome 310. Khalil Herbert 311. Jarrett Patterson coming in at 312. So the big thing that jumps out to me here is Michael Carter at 303. Michael Carter, a big week at the Senior Bowl. He is draft stock. Rose for me from a day two to from a day three to a day two guy. The NFL loves him. They love him as a satellite pass catching back. He's not the biggest guy, but he has enough size if he has to turn into a three down back. So here's the thing. Michael Carter could swing in a ton of different directions. I could really see him, and this is the bad for fantasy football. This is the bad. I could see him ending up as the backup for Christian McCaffrey, for Saquon Barkley. Some of these teams that have these pass catching agile type guys and could really use a safety net. That's going to kill him for fantasy football. But if he ends up in a situation where he could be a little bit more featured, what if Jacksonville wants another back to compete with James Robinson? What if he ends up in a situation where he can really compete for the job? Well, that's going to bump up Michael Carter. So he could really swing in either direction, but his stock is going up, and it should be because he had a big week at the Senior Bowl, and he showed he could be a pass-catching back, which for PPR purposes is huge, and most of us are playing in at least half-point PPR. Ramondre Stevenson at 307. I got to be honest, I pointed out this value because I still don't know how I feel about it. I'm lower than most folks on Ramondre Stevenson. He went to the Senior Bowl. He did fine. He didn't impress, right? I think he was somebody that we were hoping would go to the Senior Bowl, blow everybody away, and all of a sudden he'd be a first or second round rookie pick. I think he's still a third round pick. And here's the bottom line. I'd pay 307 for him because the upside's there, but I think in most leagues you're going to have to pay a little bit higher because there's like one Ramondre Stevenson guy. Right, probably in every league, or one Ramondre Stevenson player who's really high on him. And I'm not going to take him really any higher than 307. The upside's there. The landing spot, of course, is important. But I'm not really willing to super invest. I updated him. I did bump him up on the big board because he went to Mobile. He had a decent week. He didn't have a terrible week. He didn't have a great week. So I bumped him up. I think he's running back 12 for me. So third round feels good. Sage Surratt, 309, another guy we forgot about him. I actually really liked Sage Surratt tape back in 2019. He opted out of 2020. He comes to the Senior Bowl, and he does fine. For me, I know who Sage Surratt is. He's going to make some contested catches, and he's going to struggle to separate. He's going to run some good routes, and he's going to be fine. I don't see him ever being the dude. So here's the bottom line. Although I like Sage Surratt, I'm probably not going to have him on my fantasy football teams. 309 is a fine value, but at 309, I'm going to take a home run hit, right? And look at the three guys after Sage Surratt: Daz Newsome, Khalil Herbert, Jarrett Patterson, all with more upside in different ways. Daz Newsome, the athletic upside. Khalil Herbert, he could turn into a three-down back. Jarrett Patterson, I really love. We know my Jarrett Patterson love. I don't have to keep going into that. So either way, I would take one of those three guys over Sage Surratt because I know who Sage Surratt is and he's just fine. And that's fine for an NFL team. If I needed a wide receiver three, I'd probably, on an NFL team, if I'm a GM, I might take Sage Surratt over Daz Newsome. But not in fantasy football. We swing for the fences in fantasy football. Let's jump to round four. I think this round is really defined by guys who probably won't be going round four. I mentioned this is over the course of the last 2 weeks. So some of this ADP is influenced by Senior Bowl, but not all of it. And at 401, we start with Larry Roundtree. And then we go to Nico Collins at 402, 403, Anthony Schwartz, 404, Kyle Trask, 405, Amari Rodgers, 406, Dwayne Eskridge. 407 is Emar Smith-Marset, 408, Puka Williams, 409, Elijah Mitchell, 410, Tyler Vaughns, 411, Jamie Newman, 412, Luke Farrell. All right, we got a lot of moving pieces here. But let's hone in at 402, Nico Collins. Big winner from Mobile. He looked bigger than the defensive backs. He looked more athletic than the defensive backs. From all the reports coming out of the Senior Bowl, he looks ready for the NFL. And he just looked a step above a lot of the other wide receivers. Nobody needed this week more than Nico Collins. If you go back and watch one of my previous videos where I actually break down the players that I said needed to win the most at the Senior Bowl, Nico Collins was number two on that list. Jamie Newman, the guy at 411, was number one on that list. And I break down a full 10 guys. If you want to go back, watch that video, listen to that episode. I believe it's episode 2 of the Rookie Big Board podcast. But Nico Collins was number two. And Nico Collins, unlike Jamie Newman, Nico Collins got the job done. So he's going to jump up NFL boards. He's up to player overall 30 on my big board, which, do the math, puts him in mid-third round. So at 402, he's a huge value. And I think he's just going to keep climbing up. I think he's going day two in the NFL draft. And if he's matched up with a big-armed quarterback who he can help stretch the field with, then Nico Collins can be a difference maker at the next level. And he could have a Chase Claypool-esque ascension in terms of fantasy football value. That's kind of the fantasy football. I'm not making a player comp there. Making a fantasy football comp in the way I think his value can just build, and then take off. At 405, in a very different way, I think Amari Rodgers could see his fantasy football value rise. And Amari Rodgers couldn't be a different player than Nico Collins. He's an underneath, consistent catch type guy. But Amari Rodgers looked good throughout the whole week. We were kind of hearing reports, doing good at practice, you know, kind of the standard stuff, good character, leadership. He had played a while at Clemson. You know, that's kind of a prestigious program to come out of in terms of player mentality, player character. And then he gets to the game. And I see Amari Rodgers catching the ball through traffic. He got that one touchdown pass. He gets smashed afterwards. He holds on to the ball. He looked really sharp in the game. So not a lot of the times you focus more on the practice in Mobile, but Amari Rodgers stood out in the game. And he's rising up my boards too. He leapfrogged a lot of wide receivers on my board. Updated rankings, again, patreon.com/theffeducator. All of these rankings, all these boards I'm talking about, it's only $3 a month. I don't think you're going to find a better value out there. Dwayne Eskridge, wide receiver, he's 406. He will not be drafted in the fourth round. I'm going to tell you right now, he's in the 20s on my big board. He's going in the second round of your fantasy football drafts. So when we do the February ADP episode, this is going to be night and day for Dwayne Eskridge. He balled out at the Senior Bowl. He looked explosive. They played him all over the field. His release looked sharp. Everybody was talking about Dwayne Eskridge. That stock is rising. He's going day two in the NFL draft. He's not going round four in your rookie drafts. But that's his ADP right now. Like I said, we collected this over a two-week period. Plus, I think even if we started it today, folks still aren't quite on Dwayne Eskridge. But I'm telling you, they will be on Dwayne Eskridge. Or if they're not, if your league mates aren't, then that's big value for you because you should be on him. Round five. I know, round five. Why are we listening to round five? I'm telling you, there's going to be guys you're going to want to know about in round five. And actually, I'm trying not to talk about every player in each round. But I could probably talk about six, seven players in this round. I won't. I'm only going to talk about three. But let's go through, let's run through the ADP here. It's Jonathan Adams at 501, Wap Filer at 502, Hunter Long at 503, Marquez Stevenson at 504, Tutu Atwell at 505, Cornell Powell at 506, Kay Johnson at 507, Rakeem Boyd 508, Frank Darby 509, 510, Warren Jackson 511, Austin Watkins and his teammate Myron Mitchell from the University of Alabama. Birmingham is 5'12", and he rounds out and finishes up our ADP. So who do we want to zone in on here? I'm going to start with Hunter Long because this is actually a question that I got in the patron chat. And this is a really good question. And I'm specifically focusing on Hunter Long because we had a good conversation about Hunter Long. And for me, Hunter Long is that next tight end up, right? So it starts with Pitts and then Jordan and then Freiermuth. And then there's this gap. There's this pretty large gap. As you could tell, we haven't talked about a tight end since round three. And Hunter Long is that next guy up. I think he's a really good NFL tight end. So if you find yourself in round four and you're like, I need a tight end, you know, don't be afraid to pay round four value for Hunter Long. He could turn into a really good tight end. But there's just so many guys I liked above him. But if you look up, like Luke Farrell has a 412 ADP. There's no reason for Luke Farrell to have a higher ADP right now than Hunter Long. Nothing against Luke Farrell, but Hunter Long has a better chance of translating in terms of his hands, his red zone ability. He could be a touchdown type guy at the next level. So I'm paying for Hunter Long next up. And by the way, he didn't register on ADP, but the next tight end that I have on my tight end board is Kenny Yabo out of Ole Miss, because I think he looks raw, but he's got the upside. Moving down here, 507, you want to talk about a good week at the Senior Bowl. Cade Johnson out of South Dakota hasn't played football since 2019 because FCS didn't play this year. He's playing at a small school. Everybody was looking at Cade Johnson to see if he could play with the big boys. And let me tell you, he can burn the big boys. He can separate from the big boys. He can pull in bad passes from the big boy quarterbacks. All right, Cade Johnson can get the job done. If Cade Johnson is around in the fourth round of any of my fantasy football rookie leagues, I'm drafting him. Forget the fifth round. Cade Johnson's going to be on my team. Now, I mentioned in my non-Power 5 top prospects episode last week that Cade Johnson was one guy that I was high on. And I'm still all in. The Senior Bowl only helped that. So he's just going to keep moving up my board. And so I don't think he's going to have a fifth round ADP. I think it could take him a couple of years to get going. So maybe he's somebody who just sits on your roster, honestly, for a year or two, and you kind of got to be patient. But I bet 3 years from now, Cade Johnson will have had a period of fantasy football relevancy and helped your roster. And the last guy I have to talk about, 509, Frank Darby. This ADP is too low. It's hard with Frank Darby because I think that he is somebody who is not going to be on every team's board. The production wasn't there consistently over time at Arizona State. He's been in and out. He's kind of been on the radar, off the radar, limited tape for the Pac-12 this past year. He actually was playing through being sick at the Senior Bowl. I believe it was day one, maybe, reports were that Darby kept catching passes, going to the sidelines, yakking, coming back, catching passes, yakking, coming back. So I think that there is character there. They've said that he was one of the guys who really a lot of other players revolved around. His energy was charisma was really engaging. So I think that there are going to be NFL teams that love Frank Darby. I think he's not going to be on half the team boards. So he could go anywhere from round three to round six. I really don't know what round Darby's going to go in the NFL draft. And so I'm kind of pumping my brakes a little bit in terms of, you know, getting behind him in fantasy football value until I see what the NFL thinks. But that being said, there's no way he's going to end up being a round five player in terms of rookie fantasy football, rookie ADP. He's going to end up at the worst being around three, maybe round four value. So that's five rounds worth of rookie ADP value. So like I said, I know this episode was a little bit different. We didn't break down the big board, but I wanted to do two things. I wanted to, one, go through ADP, but two, I also wanted to give you insight on the rookie big board and just kind of show you what it looks like behind the scenes with the Notion and what you kind of get access to when it comes to the rookie big board, breaking down players, giving insight into everything going on and kind of my tape value of them. And ADP is just one piece of that equation. So you also have the Devy rankings, of course, on top of the rookie boards, the cornerstone boards, all that good stuff. Patreon.com/TheFFEducator. Make sure to leave a 5-star review if you have not already. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you listening.